welcome back to Flowery Branch with Dave Archer Wester. On the players segment features Robert McLean. Good old Bobby Max in the house here today, Arch. He of three career interceptions. Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he picks up real good guys.
And two off Drew Brees.
Yep.
I want to tell you now, you get your money's worth, don't you?
Yeah. I guess I pick and choose the right ones, but I need to start taking it from all the quarterbacks. So.
Rob, first of all, congratulations on the win. I know this was one that you guys put your heart and soul into. Really, the coverage might have been you guys' best game from a coverage standpoint, taking away throws for Brees.
Yeah, we were real tight on coverage throughout the entire game. Whether it was a zone coverage, whether it was a man coverage, we were very close to the receivers, making it tough for Brees to squeeze the ball into the receivers' hands. So,
well, I talked to you yesterday in the post game, and Rob was one of our guests in the post game. We appreciate him taking the time to join us after the game. I asked you, did you bait him? Because I've been around veteran corners that, because you've been playing soft, kind of an inside technique, kind of giving away the speed out and some of that stuff, and then all of a sudden. At the key moment, you jumped. Now, you said you didn't bait him, but there had to have been a little bit of it. You knew what was coming.
Yeah, I kind of felt the curl coming at the time or the comeback. But, it was kind of a bait because I was playing off coverage at the time, and I was hard inside. And right when I seen him lower, I was like, I'm just going to take my shot and go get it and breeze through it in my direction at that time. And I was able to undercut it and catch it. So I'm thankful for that.
Ends up sealing the win for the Falcons. It turns out to be 30-14 because OC had to have the stage there at the end. What in the world was all – I mean, he just stayed with the play, and all of a sudden, 86 yards later, he's in the end zone, huh?
I was exhausted that play. I was like, man, Kenny Stills is my receiver. I was covering that down, and he almost caught OC. I was like, OC, hopefully he get in the end zone. I was hoping he didn't get stripped, and the guy fumbled, and, you know, he takes it back. But I was like, nah, I seen I think it was back there. I think Rashid Hageman or Tyson was back there blocking for him, so –
You were once a young guy in this league.
You're still a young guy,
but you know, you've been here a little while. Coach Smith talks about resiliency, and we've heard him talk about it. What's it mean to Robert McLean? The word resiliency and what this team's resiliency is like.
To me, it means fighting regardless of the outcome, regardless of the predicament we're in. Regardless of our record, any type of thing that could be negative towards our team or positive to our team, is just part of our fight, our ability to fight adversity, you know, and that's what this team's about. I mean, we're not the number one on this and number one on that or you know top five team in the league right now, but we have that resiliency, which is going to help us win the games.
Well, to me, if they were going to put resiliency in there, and yeah, you'd put the whole team in there, but your face would be one of the first faces on there because of all the things they ask you to do. You play your core special team, or you're on virtually every special team. You were the nickelback for a while playing, then you play left corner, you're playing right corner. How difficult is that, Rob, to balance all that stuff and having the disciplines? Because it's different playing right corner than it is left corner. You got. There's different things you're looking at. How do you balance all that?
Practice. A lot of practice and just training my mind to be able to do everything. My dad kind of, I give credit to my dad, you know, training me as a young child and playing football and being able just to do everything. I don't know. It comes easy to me being able to transition to different positions and. Even return punts. I mean, it's just something I enjoy playing football. And if I enjoy playing football, why not learn every position I can, you know?
Your journey here, though, and we've talked about this before, and I think now because you've been here a handful of years, you probably appreciate the fact there is a little bit of stability to this, don't you? I mean, after the starts where you were in Indianapolis and Carolina, and there was a little bit of unsettled nature to your career, right?
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, coming out my rookie year being drafted seventh round, I played the entire season, played all the special teams, and having a bad record. And then Coach Fox going to Denver, and new coaching staff coming in, me getting cut, and me sitting out pretty much an entire year. It's kind of tough for a guy to bounce back with that type of adversity facing him. But I know this is a sport I love, and I want to be able to provide for my family in the future. And I mean, I love football and I love the game, and I feel as though, you know, if I keep working hard and keep studying the game, that I could become a good player.
Robert McLean here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the player portion of the Mike Smith Show. Rob, when you look at this season, obviously, guys, we talked about resilient, and it's a good word, but there are some tough moments during this year. You guys are on a five-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. Everybody talking bad about you. I mean, how much circle the wagons, how much interior talking did you guys do to try to get yourselves back to have this opportunity this weekend?
We did a lot, but we also did little because we knew what we had at hand. We know what guys we have on the team. But we have to ignore some of the outside stuff because you know those are distractions. You know, my coach in college always said, "Don't drink the Kool-Aid." You know, kind of ignore it. You know, just stay focused on the game plan and stay focused on what we have to do inside our locker room to get ready for the game. Because there's a lot of games which if you flip it around 3 points or 4 points here and there, we could be 10-6 or 13-3, whatever. You know, but I mean that's how the NFL is. It's gonna be. Average game in NFL, you're going to either win by 7 or you're going to lose by 7 points or 3 points, you know. So they're all going to be close in the NFL, and we know that, and we know we have to do it every Sunday. But it's just about executing, and if we keep the ball rolling like this and stay aggressive and stay together as a team, we'll continue to win.
Part of that talk has been about the NFC South in general, all four teams, and maybe even the fact that a lot of the quote-unquote experts that are on TV looking down their nose at the NFC South and talking about how bad it is. What mindset does that put you guys? Is that a motivational factor? I know you talk about blocking it out, but you can't help but hear some of it.
Yeah.
Does that motivate you guys to say, hey, okay, we're going to get there, and then we're going to knock off one of your heavyweights? What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, nobody expected us to beat Arizona when we played them. You know, a lot of those guys look at the numbers and the stats, and they're big about that type of stuff and stats and numbers. And yeah, it's important to look at that stuff too. But if just to see the fight in our team and if the just to like I said, the resiliency we have as a team is important also because you can't keep an underdog out of a game. You know, if we have nothing to lose, I mean we're gonna go out there and we're gonna play like we have nothing to lose every week. And if we play like that, play hungry and play aggressive and just play. Just as though like it's the last game we're ever gonna play, you know. That's how we're gonna approach every Sunday, and there's nothing we could do about looking at the numbers like that. I mean, we know what games we could have won, we know what games we could have really just blown out an opponent, but that's how the NFL is, and we're gonna approach this game. We're gonna approach this game as though it's our last game, and we'll approach next game as though it's our last game, and next game after that as though it's our last game. And we'll just keep going like that and keep stacking them up.
Robert McClain with us on the players portion of the coaches show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live here at Flowery Branch to the top of the hour. Resiliency. Yesterday, some guys get banged up a little bit during the game. We were talking during the break. Arch had already projected Eric Weems to come in the game. And you said, oh, no. No, Hester would have potentially flipped in. That would have been an interesting dynamic for this football team, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Being that he's my favorite player growing up, I mean,
your favorite player
he was my favorite player, man. I wrote his number 4 on my tape every time I played high school football. So I remember watching him at the University of Miami play corner. He got drafted as a nickel corner also, and as a returner. And I ran over to Coach Lewis, and when Dwight went down. To see like if there's gonna be change any packages or any type of defensive sets we'll be in. And Hester ran over and Weems was there. And I was like, hey, man, we could put Hester at safety and keep me at corner and we still have the person that we need to if we needed that package. But yeah, Hester was ready. He's ready, man. He's a pure athlete right there. He can do everything.
I'm holding my fingers about an inch apart. You were about that close to having Devin play corner in that game yesterday.
I want to get more into he's my favorite player growing up and how that conversation went, huh?
When you first signed him, man, I was excited just to watching him when I was younger and just seeing the plays he made out there at the University of Miami and just trying to emulate my game towards the way he played and he loves the game of football also and just he's a playmaker. He makes the big play every week. He'll make the big play every week. And he's not scared to, and he knows what it feels like to be in the end zone. And if I could emulate my game off of Hester and try to do that with my career, I'll take it, you know.
Yeah, you would.
Absolutely.
You'd probably have a Hall of Fame career, too.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, come back more with Robert McClain. We're in the players segment of the coaches show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Robert McClain is with us here at Flowery Branch. We thank him for his time on a Victory Monday here, and the Falcons and Panthers come up on Sunday. Kick is scheduled at 1 o'clock at the Georgia Dome. Ackerman Security Systems countdown to kickoff starts our coverage 2 hours before the ball game on the floor of the Dome with J.P. Peterson, Coy Wire, Tutan Reyes will be there. Arch and John and I will be along with the call of the game at 1 o'clock. All right, here is Cam Newton and the Panthers, and it hadn't been that long ago. I mean, you only got to go back to, let's see, November the 16th since you last saw those guys.
Yep.
How much retention is there in a 5-6 week period of an NFL football season with the team, Robert?
I mean,
can they change that much?
Yeah, they can actually. It's I know they had Derek Anderson in there for maybe a game or two.
Right.
But I mean, they'll do similar stuff, but they're a team that's fighting for the same spot we're fighting for. Mm-hmm. And we know they're going to come out there with something, just a chip on their shoulder, you know, especially Cam being from the Atlanta area. I mean, it's going to be another dogfight, just the same as it was yesterday.
I look back to this game, Rob, and I remember how Carolina tried to play their defense against your offense, and the fact they play a lot of umbrella coverage. I think Matt threw, I don't know, 40-some-odd attempts in the game. If I look back here, 45 attempts, had 31 completions, but he only threw for 268 yards in the game. So they made him throw the ball underneath, tried to heat him up with the four-man pass rush. And on the other side, if I remember correctly, Cam was banged up in the game and wasn't really willing to take off and run the football, yeah. And they mismanaged the clock a little bit at the end of the game. You guys got to stop, and then you get blocked the field goal. So yeah. Obviously this game – what you take whatever you want out of that game. As you think back to who you were drawing, you were playing a lot of nickel at that time, playing a lot of special teams at the time. How much, as you shift into as a starting corner now, whether you draw Kelvin Benjamin or whoever it is you draw, how much do you remember from that portion of it, how much you matched up on people?
I thought it was our secondary matched up well against the receivers. It's just a matter of not giving them explosives against that team, you know. With Cam being able to scramble and Cam being able to throw the deep ball, we can't let him over top. And I remember giving up that deep route I did give up against Philly Brown, and I had bad eyes on that play, peeking into the backfield and gave that play. But that's just something we can't allow to happen this game. And if we can minimize that and just definitely stop the run, if we stop the run, it's gonna be huge for us this game because we do believe Cam can throw us the ball and make we have to make them make tough decisions and get them to throw us the ball.
Take me through the process. I think you do such a good job of reading through plays because you play at depth, you play some inside technique with your receiver that you're kind of responsible for, and if you're a deep throw or even if you're in cover one where you got a man, but still being able to see in the backfield. This is a good screen team. There are two backs, Stewart, especially D'Angelo Williams, outstanding screen backs. Take me through the process of how you read that, although you're trying to maintain leverage on your guy, but you know you got to rally up to make a play against a screen.
Yeah, it's all about knowing your job on that play. There'll be times where I'm strictly just covering my man and I have to be like a late force player, and there's times where I have to be a very aggressive force player. But I'm all about having good eyes and just knowing my job on the play. If I feel as though I can beat a block, I'm going to beat a block. I'd rather not get blocked. I'd rather be able to throw my shoulder on a run play or a screen to be able to at least slow them down a little bit rather than get blocked and to set my edge. You know, it's better beating your one-on-one block than it is taking it on and just saying, hey, I got my edge set. But it's all about just knowing the game plan, knowing what the offense may be doing, what type of screens they run ahead of time, and just knowing how you have to do to fit on that type of screen. And most of the screens I fit myself in, I'm able to go in there and try to make a play.
One of the things we talked about with Coach Smith is you guys' ability the last 2 weeks really to negate the run, both in the case of Pittsburgh and certainly yesterday with New Orleans. What kind of responsibilities does that leave you guys? And oftentimes yesterday, 5 sacks of Drew Brees, a lot of it had to do with what you guys were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely a team effort defensively. We were covering well, and the defensive line was rushing the passer like crazy, and they were getting in there. They were getting a lot of heat on Brees, and he was moving the pocket a lot. But I mean, team seeing that we're in coverage like that, they start cracking down the receivers into the safeties and forcing us to make tackles. And me, Trufant, Josh, and whoever, Javier, we're all willing to go out there and make tackles at the positions we're in. And that's our job. You know, as a corner, you got to be able to tackle and cover.
Robert, we talked about this yesterday briefly because of the matchup Dwight Lowry had with Jimmy Graham and the matchup he's had in two ball games. And Dave's pointed it out that, you know.
I think it's another tough one this week in Greg Olson.
Yeah, but that was a transaction that just kind of happened. There wasn't a lot made of Dwight Lowry coming here, but yet it seemed to be a really good fit with the rest of you guys in the back end.
Yeah, it worked out well. He melds well with the defensive scheme and with the secondary as a whole. Mm-hmm. He's a smart player. He goes up there. He makes solid tackles, and he's not real loud. He doesn't talk a lot. He just goes out there and he just does his job, and that's all you need to do.
It's fun the way that you guys is that dime package is developed, the three safety package that you guys go with, three corners on the field, three safeties on the field, and the ability for Dwight to come up in the box. And obviously it goes to the point, I guess the old adage, get your best football players on the field, let them go play.
Yeah, and he's smart, so we could run any type of play with them in that box. And, I mean, he knows the entire playbook. So there's no telling what he could be doing. He could be covering. He could be blitzing. He could be spying. He's that versatile of a player, which Coach Nolan trusts him. They could put him in that position, and he'll do well.
Well, and that was very evident on a play yesterday where he looked like he was kind of milling around, and he mills over towards the bunch look, and then all of a sudden comes off the edge on what looked like a delay blitz and got in Breeze's kitchen and really disrupted the play.
Exactly. He's a veteran player, and he knows what to do out there to disguise the coverages and get pressure on the quarterback and make plays out there.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left here. Everybody saw Hard Knocks before the season started. So they saw it right in the opening episode about Steven and all his art. Then we found out Joe Hawley plays around with clay.
Yeah.
That's a little scary.
That's frightening, terribly frightening that Joe makes a mug or something.
We don't even want to mention what Levine Toilolo does in his pre-time.
So let's get to Mr. Pen and Ink here got held down. Nobody got to see Robert McLean stuff, right?
Yeah, my art's always kind of in the background, but, you know, it's okay. I mean, as long as people do know about it and appreciate it,
Have you got a website for it? I know you've got some pieces out there, right?
Yeah, I have a website. It's mcleansart.org. And right now I'm about to starting 2015. I'll probably get some new art up there, new prints up there to sell. But I keep most of my originals right now. I'm kind of trying to put them into art shows and stuff.
Sure.
But if somebody has a request for a piece that I feel as though is strong enough that I could make a print of, then I'll put it on a website and try to sell them.
Now, this is not some fly for you out there listening. It's not some fly-by-night deal. This is something Rob's been doing for a long time now. He's been in shows in L.A., New York. In fact, you mentioned you're going to go over to a show in London. Mm-hmm. He's had a couple pieces sell, and so it's going pretty good.
Yeah, it's going very good. Football helps it a lot. And also just me, I take some classes in the off season to improve my technique and skill in certain areas that I feel weak in. And, I'm just the same way with football. I'm getting better and better every year with it. And, just the fact that it makes people smile, makes people happy. I can give them a piece of art. I'm cool with that.
One thing I hadn't asked you, and I know you're a big multi-sport fan, and I know you love basketball, and obviously you come from one of the great basketball programs in college basketball in UConn. Did you go to the Final Four this last year? I haven't had a chance to ask you about that.
I've never been in any Final Four. I've probably only been to two UConn basketball games, one females, one men's.
Wow.
I was always focused on football when I was up there, but I'll still root for the basketball team always.
Well, Sebastian Napier gets a serious handle, man. He had it going on.
He does. And Kemba too.
Yeah.
Kemba too. I've seen Kemba cross a bunch of people already this season. So, I like that.
Hey, Rob, thanks for spending a little bit of the afternoon with us. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Doesn't get much bigger than Sunday, though, does it?
Yeah, I mean, I love Sundays, man. There's no feeling like that running out the tunnel, whether it's home or away. There's no feeling like it. It's a good Sunday for football every Sunday.
Go get you a W this weekend.
Oh, man. We will.
That's Robert McLean. Thanks to everybody who's been a part of the coaches show this year. It's our final edition of the show from Flowery Branch. Thanks to everybody at the Falcon organization. And for Dave Archer, Westrum, thank you for listening. We'll see you Sunday at the Dome for the Falcons and Panthers in Week 17. The winner is the champion of the NFC South.